Thank you for joining me in today's podcast. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving Day, because it's certainly an opportunity to focus on the great things that we have to be thankful for. But we're going to talk about staying vigilant. And I had gotten some of these comments and read a little short story that David Jeremiah had written about staying vigilant. And I thought it was appropriate to continue that and maybe go in more detail about what this really means. Our reading today comes from Genesis 35, verse 2, and it says, "Get rid of the foreign gods you have with you, and purify yourselves, and change your clothes." Well, this is all part of being vigilant, is making a change in our life sometimes, right? There was a time in Denton, North Carolina, that suddenly this town just went totally dark. Well, as you can imagine, the utility officials traced the blackout to a fire in a substation. Well, that should cause a blackout, right? But then they quickly saw the problem. It was a snake that had gotten into the equipment, sparking the fire, and it managed to black out the whole town. When we make excuses for stepping away from the truths and standards God has set for us, we open ourselves up to sin and the accompanying guilt that comes with it. The best way to avoid spiritual blackouts is to keep sin from entering our lives. In Ephesians 4:31 says, "Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander." Now this is a task for us to do. And in Colossians 3:8 it says, "But now you must also rid yourselves of such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language." Again, it's saying this is what we have to do. James 1:21 says, "Therefore get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent." Now God's going to help us, and He's going to help us overcome temptations and try to keep us out of sin, but then it becomes our choice, and we have a big responsibility to take that on. Yes, be careful, be watchful, remove any impediment that may distract or deter you in your walk with God, staying vigilant. Well, that's just great. We see scriptures that tell us what we need to do or to get rid of our life, but the real question is, how do we do it? How do we get rid of these bad habits, these evil things that infiltrate our life? The Bible offers guidance in staying vigilant in various aspects of life, emphasizing spiritual vigilance and watchfulness. Here are a few passages that speak to this theme. Look at Matthew 26, verse 41. It says, "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Well, there it is. Watch and pray. This verse is part of the account of Jesus' prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. It really underscores the importance of prayer and watchfulness to avoid succumbing to temptation. Well, that word watch or watchfulness means to give strict attention to, be cautious, active, to take heed lest through remission and indolence or laziness, some destructive calamity suddenly takes over you. If we read in 1 Peter 5:8, it says, "Be alert and sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." Be alert, be sober. This soberness, what are we talking about? The word sober means to be calm and collect in spirit. And here's why. The devil is on the prowl, waiting for a way to trip you up. To prowl is to follow without you knowing. I remember one time when I was walking in the neighborhood, I was walking home, and I saw a coyote walking in the middle of the street. At first I thought it was a fox, but I thought, that's too big. It has to be a coyote. And I've never seen a fox walk in the middle of a street. Well, as he passed me going east, I was walking north, crossing the street, and all of a sudden I sensed something following me. You know how you get those feelings? And it was just an eerie feeling. And when I turned around, I saw the coyote following me. He completely changed direction and turned around to follow me specifically. He was stalking me, looking for an opportunity to attack. I believe that. They say when coyotes are alone, that's when they are the most vicious and vulnerable of attacking you. Well, my reaction was, of course, a little bit out of fear, and I picked up some rocks and I yelled at it and I threw rocks at it and it took off running. I stood my ground. I believe Satan works in the same way. He's looking for vulnerability and weakness on your part. Peter's letter emphasizes the need for believers to be vigilant and sober-minded, recognizing the spiritual battle and the adversity that we face. But be calm, be cautious, but be methodical. Ephesians 6:18 says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people." I like that. And it says, don't just pray for yourself, pray for all the Lord's people, all the Christians, all the brothers and sisters. The context here is the armor of God, and it encourages believers to be vigilant in prayer for themselves and others. With that armor, when you read that in Ephesians 6:12 through 17, Paul identifies specific things to do and associates it with a military armor suit. Only this armor is the armor of God. This is how we will withstand in the day of evil. If we look at Mark 13, verses 35 through 37, it says, "Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether it's in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch." This passage is part of Jesus' discourse on the end times, urging believers to be watchful and prepared for his return. If we take a look at 1 Thessalonians 5:6, it says, "So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober." Paul encourages believers to be spiritually awake and alert, not being complacent or unaware. In summary, the Bible advises believers to stay vigilant through prayer, sober-mindedness, and awareness of the spiritual challenges they may face. It underscores the importance of being prepared for the unexpected and remaining faithful in the face of trials and temptations. You will grow in the Lord as you face these challenges. God expects us to grow beyond belief. Initially, He wants us to believe. Then He wants us to grow spiritually. And finally, God wants us to know Him personally. Once we know Him, we no longer have to believe in Him, because our knower knows. There's a difference between what we know and what we believe. We believe in Jesus without seeing Him, but once we experience His power, His miracles and blessings, we know that He is real. We are not guessing, but we are acting with not only head knowledge or cognitively, but we know deep down in our spirit, and no one can change our mind. We know that we know. The Apostle Paul emphasizes the unchanging nature of this message, particularly in the face of even supernatural influences, as found in the book of Galatians, chapter 1, verses 8 through 9. Here's what it says. "But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accept, let them be under God's curse." You see, Paul knows. He isn't guessing. Why? Because he has seen the blessings, the miracles, and the power of Christ. He hasn't just heard about them, but he has actually seen it. He's experienced it, and he has done it. So what are some key takeaways for how to do it? I'm going to go over these with you, and I'm going to go through 10, so be patient with me. Number one, become lazy, but pay attention. In other words, watch. Number two, be calm and collected in spirit, sober-minded. Number three, pray in the spirit on all occasions. For everything you do, be in prayer. Number four, always pray for all of God's people, missionaries, pastors, fellow believers. Number five, have your loins girt with truth. The truth will set you free. Remember that. Number six, put on the breastplate of righteousness. Be forgiven of sins and keep your heart pure. Number seven, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Be ready to share the gospel and know the gospel by studying it so you can speak from the heart. Number 8, take the shield of faith that can deflect the attacks from the world by wicked people. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." In Romans 10:17, "Now faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God." This verse in Romans 10:17 is part of a passage in which the Apostle Paul is discussing the importance of preaching and spreading the message of the gospel. The idea expressed is that faith is generated or strengthened through hearing the word of God, indicating the central role of the scriptures in the proclamation of the gospel in the development of faith. Number 9, put on the helmet of salvation. In other words, have the conviction of your belief in Christ without hiding it. Number 10, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Use the word to back up what you say. Know where the scripture comes from. I'll close with this quote from St. Augustine of Hippo, a prominent early Christian theologian. Pray as though everything depended on God. Work as though everything depended on you. Augustine's emphasis on prayer and diligence and our efforts reflects a sense of spiritual vigilance and a responsibility in the Christian life. While the quote doesn't explicitly use the word vigilant, it conveys the idea of staying watchful, prayerful, and actively engaging in pursuit of faith and virtue. Be vigilant. Look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Jesus said this in Luke 21, verse 28. It means he is coming soon and that it is very close to us for his return. Consequently, we must get ready, get ready, get ready, and do the work of the Lord while there is still time left. You have a blessed day.